Now, back to Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Dr. Hank.
Well, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us today. One of the things I didn't get a chance to share, or I didn't share with you early in the show, because we probably have some new listeners out there, some folks that have not heard about the Society of Emotional Intelligence before. And I just wanted to just give you a little information before we bring on our next guest. The Society of Emotional Intelligence was formed in 2009, and it's the only professional association that's really dedicated to discussing, enhancing, working towards developing or improving someone's emotional intelligence. Anyone can belong to the organization. All you have to do is go to the website, societyofei.com. Go to the membership page. You'll find some information there on what it takes or how you can become a member. But it's an organization that I'm sure once you get involved in, you'll find that it's a good fit for you. It doesn't only apply to work. It can apply to your personal life as well, just as you heard Kathy talk about work-life balance and how emotional intelligence relate to that. Well, our next guest is Dr. Ravi Rao. And speaking of how emotional intelligence ties into things, Dr. Rao has just written a new book titled Emotional Business. And the tagline behind that is, if you get the emotions right, you get the business right. Dr. Rao is a corporate management consultant and keynote speaker. After training as a physician at Harvard, he has served business clients for over 12 years to improve emotional culture in the workplace. His new book, Emotional Business, describes ways that small family businesses and even large corporations can raise their emotional excellence with customers and colleagues. Dr. Rao was one of our early speakers at the first conference that we had in 2010. He's been with us ever since. So I would like to welcome Dr. Rao to Let's Talk EI. Good morning, Dr. Rao. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
No, I was just kind of thinking about some things, and Kathy, the previous guest, was sharing about work-life balance and everything, and I thought, my, that is really interesting. And so when you and I were talking several months ago and I invited you to be a guest on the show right after your new book was published, I thought, man, I got to learn more about this whole thing in terms of emotional business. You've seen a lot of businesses all over the world. What have you observed about emotional workplace cultures?
You know, Hank, that's a great question. I think that businesses have had it wrong for about 100 years. We used to think that the best way to make a business profitable, that the best way to keep a business growing is to treat employees like machines. You know, going back all the way to the industrial workplace of the 1800s when we had the Industrial Revolution. But today, what we do in a company is different. We're not making widgets. We're making high-tech things that require a lot of teamwork to design and produce. We're making creative outputs. We're delivering services. And in that kind of economy where we're knowledge-focused, service-focused, creative, innovative, and so on, we don't want to create situations where people feel stressed. We don't want to create situations where people feel crushed by their workplace, because when they do, they can't come up with something creative. They can't deliver good service. And this isn't something abstract. All of us, whether we're going into a coffee shop or in the airport or in a store, have felt how these workplaces affect us. We get employees trying to work with us or serve us who are apathetic or irritable and make us feel bad for being a customer. And it's not just in America. It's in Europe. It's in Asia. It's in Australia. A lot of different places I've been around the world. You see this kind of crushing effect where people just wake up in the morning and get that sick feeling like, oh, I have to go to work, as opposed to being excited that they're going to go to a place that that they feel included, and so on. And it's in part because those workplaces lack a commitment and a strategy to put emotional intelligence into that workplace.
Well, you know, as and I'm going to say, as companies grow, as cultures grow, as organizations grow, we have not always focused on emotions in the workplace. And in your book, you talk about the link between emotions and the economy, and you say that neither the president nor the governor, in particular Governor Romney, has it right. How would you fix the economy using emotional intelligence?
You know, Hank, I'm not one who's a political expert, and you're not going to see me on Sunday morning shows talking about this policy or that policy. But to some degree, I do want to comment about this idea that it is a president alone or a Congress alone that changes the economy. I think the reason that we have had a global, very hesitant, slow recovery has little to do with the party in power, per se, and much more to do with the emotional state of the citizens, not just in our country, but around the world. Think of it in this analogy. If you had a friend who just had a terrible divorce after a marriage that was very rocky, let's say, and coming out of it, you're trying to help your friend and say, hey, I think you should go out again. That person, even if it's logical that they would benefit from a relationship and would find it healing and so on, they'll resist. They'll be a little reluctant because they just don't trust the world. You can even say, hey, let me find you someone. They'll still say, not interested. They'll say, if you even said, hey, let me pay for your date, they may still say, you know, I'm just not ready yet. And I actually think that's what shoppers and buyers and even companies have had emotionally happen to them over the last few years. It isn't that the tax rates are not right or that the interest rates are not right and so on. They're just shy. They're just a little reluctant to put themselves out there again, to expose themselves to anything risky. What can a leader do? You know, part of this is just time, just like your friend who comes out of a divorce needs some time to recover and say, yeah, I think it is safe to go out there and date again. We just need the citizens to say, okay, it is safe to go out there and spend again. I actually think the people who can fix the economy are those who can restore trust and those who can restore a feeling of safety and comfort in the communities, whether that's teachers or firemen or police officers doing their job as they always have, but also even business people starting to say, hey, don't worry, I'm not going to rip you off. Hey, we're all in this together. We're all part of the community. And the more that those businesses, particularly those small businesses, have emotional intelligence and can connect to their customers and have emotional intelligence and can create a safe environment for their employees, to feel that trust, to feel that, okay, things are going to be okay, then the economy will be great again.
Fantastic. Let me just kind of share with the listening audience, Dr. Rao's book, Emotional Business, If You Get the Emotions Right, You Get the Business Right, is available through Amazon.com. So if you want to pick up a copy, you know, just go to the website, pull up Amazon.com, go in there and look for Emotional Business. Now, his website, which is emotionalbusiness.com, emotionalbusiness.com. And if you want to tweet him a message real quick, he's the emo biz guy. That's E-M-O biz guy. When Dr. Rao published his book, and this isn't the first time that he's published something, he's done a lot of papers and what have you. And as I mentioned in the early introduction piece, at one time he was a physician at Harvard. And one of the things that have always interested me is, why did you change from being a physician into doing consulting around emotional intelligence? Can you share that with me?
Sure. You know, we all have things that we know about ourselves. In fact, a big component of emotional intelligence is self-awareness, knowing what your strengths are, knowing what your limitations are, knowing what contexts are good for you and which contexts aren't. I did go through a long academic training route. I did 4 years of medical school, did a few years of research, and also did several years of clinical training, had been in a residency program in neurosurgery at Harvard, and was learning to do brain surgery. You know, that was my day-to-day job as a, sort of one of those residents you would see on the TV show ER or Grey's Anatomy. I was one of those guys wearing the scrubs and the white coat and every day learning more and more about it, what it meant to be a surgeon. And my own self-awareness at that point helped me to understand that I wasn't in the right fit for me. My desire for impact was not only with those who were physically struggling or those with medical struggles, but much more so those with emotional struggles. And the other thing that I noticed was, as much as the clinicians were good in a hospital to help patients, the organization itself of the hospital, if that was bad, if the leadership and the departments and the physicians and the nurses and the administrators and the finance people were not all coordinated and aligned about what they were trying to do, that would hurt the patients as much as any technical problem or equipment failure. And as I started to look around and just realized in myself, there were other people who were going to be much greater surgeons than I would be. But I said I had a unique opportunity to take what I had learned about the brain as the center of where emotions are processed, and my natural predilection to looking at organizations and groups and trying to understand how their emotional culture affected their performance. And I took those lessons and combined them with a natural desire for understanding how to help groups, put those two things together, and that's what I've been doing. First, at McKinsey & Company for a long time, and then more recently for the last 7 years on my own, working across the world in different industries, but with a common issue of how do we get these emotions right, because that's what struggling businesses are finding, that it's not their technology, it's not their software, it's not their marketing, it's their emotions that are getting in the way of being better.
Yes, and I like that tagline. If you get the emotions right, you get the business right. I was sharing that the other day with someone when I was talking to them about you being at the conference and presenting, and they said, what do you mean if you get the emotions right, you get the business right? I said, well, that's one of the things that Dr. Rao will be sharing with us at the conference, and I told him I'm going to leave it at that. So one of the things I like to do before you go is just say thanks for being a guest on Let's Talk EI. I certainly look forward to seeing you at the conference. You know, you're always a delight to meet and talk to and be with. So please, you know, tell friends, associates, colleagues about what's going on and about our conference, and invite them to be at the conference too. So Dr. Rao, thanks for being with us, and I look forward to seeing you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me today, Dr. Hank, and looking forward to seeing as many people as we can at the conference coming up in October in Tampa.
Thank you. You can pick up Dr. Rao's book at Amazon.com, or you can visit his website at EmotionalBusinessSuccess.com, EmotionalBusinessSuccess.com. Well, it's time to take a break, but stay tuned. We'll be back with our next guest right after this.